I wanna go where the moon shines bright. I wanna dance under the stars tonight.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the moon. I'm your host for this evening, Lawrence Ray, and today I'm joined by my esteemed co-hosts, Ricardo Martinez.
Hello.
And Jerry.
Hello.
So guys, how's everything going for you this week? You've been busy? Are there anything interesting?
Yeah, I've been extremely busy this week. I made a shopping video that we're going to post to the YouTube channel where I demonstrate how to use some Bitrefill gift cards.
Nice, nice. What about you, Jerry? Anything going on?
Not really. Not much, except the hand of this care. This week when Bitcoin dipped. Yeah, I think that shook me up a bit, but it's 40k now, so it's all good.
Yeah. Did you have like I'm assuming we all stayed like faithful and huddled through the dip, right? I'm assuming that's what happened.
Yeah.
Bro, man, I was literally praying. I was like, oh God, no.
Yeah, no, it was a really I'm no pro trader, but it seemed like a pretty healthy like correction and healthy like retracement to me. So I'm glad everything was seems to be all good now. I guess that kind of takes us on to our first news piece, actually. And for anyone, this is our first podcast. So anyone tuning in, I'll give you a quick explanation here on what to expect. So first, we're going to talk over just the news of the week. Then we'll do a fun little game that you can play along with as well. And we'll be pitting Jerry against Ricardo. And then we'll have a special segment which will change each week. And this week we're going to just be discussing and debating a topic that's hot on the news this week. But other than that, we'll be doing interviews and other interactive segments. And then we'll end on a nice positive 60 seconds of general good news for you all. So to start with the news, number one, I'm going to come at you with a UK-based piece of news, obviously. There's been a lot of anti-Bitcoin news in the UK news this week. Now, I've had messages from friends, my mum, my girlfriend. You've got a Times article that came out talking about British banks that have blocked people cashing out their cryptocurrency. And you've also got The Sun, Business Insider, loads of newspapers post talking about the FCA, who are warning people that they could lose all of their money when they invest in Bitcoin. Now, what are your guys' thoughts on this news? It's feels like something I've seen before, but what are you thinking?
Yeah. I think UK has become the new China.
Okay, well, explain for people who won't get what you're saying. Obviously, I think what you're saying is that it's like the China FUD that you had before and during the last bull run. Is that what you're getting at? Or
yeah, you know, back then in 2017, we were always having this, you know, FUD with then China's buying Bitcoin. It always became like, almost became like a vicious cycle, you know? You know, China's buying Bitcoin dips. Now, it seems UK wants to become the new China in this regard. So, but eventually, I think it's not a big deal in the long run. I mean, UK has been pretty great with, you know, in dealing with Bitcoin. So I don't see that changing drastically anytime soon. So but from what I read, I think it was just certain banks, it's not general rules. So it's nothing significant, really.
To me, it's humorous because everybody that longed the top at 19,000 at the height of the last bull run is now up 100% if they hodled through the crypto winter. So it's just hot air to me.
Yeah, I mean, so the piece about banks, exactly, you hit the nail on the head, Jerry. It was like, oh, British banks, and then named two of the many that we have here, one of which was my bank. So to test it, I purchased some cryptocurrency, absolutely fantastically fine, and also deposited like, I think it was like some small amount of leftover crap coins that I had hanging around, and was well. So it's basically a bunch of rubbish, a bit of FUD. And if anything, it's bullish to me. I mean, that you've got this kind of article coming out, and it's just more and more people here, it's all over the UK news for everyone, not just like an echo chamber for myself being in the involved in the industry. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy about it, to be honest. Anyone out there concerned, especially if you're in the UK, do not worry. Bitcoin has gone back up since the article came out, and banks seem not to be completely banning crypto. So yeah, that's our message.
I think someone in the UK is trying to scoop some cheap bitcoins.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, the FCA chairman's like trying to sort of trying to get himself some cheap deals. So this kind of goes on to the second piece of news, and we're moving over to America here, and away from the Financial Conduct Authority to the Securities and Exchange Commission in the US. So the SEC, as everyone will know by now in the industry, has brought forth a lawsuit against Ripple. And so that was by Jay Clayton. I think he was in charge, and he then stepped down or was brought down from the SEC in his role. They've now appointed, I think it's Elad or Elad Roizman, who is essentially quite a pro crypto person. He's quite crypto friendly. He's done, I think, taught courses on crypto before, and he's been quite sort of supportive on cryptocurrencies and their regulation. So he's just come in and has been appointed by Joe Biden's administration. I guess the question here to you guys is what do you think this spells for the Ripple lawsuit, and the other one is, what do you think this spells for the crypto community as a whole?
I think it's going to be good for Ripple, because he was teaching courses on blockchain, not Bitcoin. So I think the new guy's probably neck deep in shitcoinery.
What about you, Jerry?
I'm not really excited about the news, because aside from the fact that we probably taught in some blockchain courses in the university, there's no indication that he's going to be pro crypto. I think we've seen these types before, you know, when they make a lot of noise about, you know, going into government, and we expect some kind of radical, you know, changes and government attitude towards, you know, towards crypto, and nothing's really, you know, come out of it. So I think people are just, you know, making a meal out of it. It's probably nothing. He's just going to be there to do his 4 years, 8 years, and probably just leave, and, you know, crypto, just, you know, keep crypto in.
Yeah, I guess that's, to be fair, like I kind of got wrapped up in the news, and I hadn't really considered what you said in the, essentially, you know, who's for sure saying he's pro crypto. Yeah, as you say, I guess he taught some courses on it. He may have said some favorable things in the past about blockchain tech, but there's no one out there necessarily saying, and he's not stated he's going to suddenly, you know, change his mind on things. I guess the other point to think about as well is, yeah, it may be good for Ripple, but what about the industry as a whole? I mean, is more regulation good or bad for the industry? I mean, most people say yes. The cypherpunks say no. Part of me says yes, and part of me says no. What about you guys? Like, what's your thoughts on regulation in the space?
I'm not a fan of regulation personally. I mean, I understand for the big hedge funds to invest that they're fans of regulation, but I like the cypherpunk ideals of Bitcoin.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I find that, like, in my heart, I agree, and I definitely feel I'm very much like a libertarian in my views. But then obviously, having said that, there's always that part of me that wants to see the industry move forward, I guess, and get more adoption, help people. And obviously, that does inevitably happen with more regulation, I suppose, as that encourages businesses. What about you, Jerry? What's your, are you kind of pro, anti, or what's your thoughts on regulation in general in the industry? Oh, looks like we've lost Jerry there.
<Uh-oh>.
Well, never mind. I guess what we'll do while Jerry's trying to sort himself out, we'll move on to the next news article, the third article and final article, before we begin our game.
Jerry looks like he's disgusted with the idea.
He's just, when I've asked him the question, he's not responded, just because I'm disgusted that I would ask him about regulation. We'll go with something a bit more lighthearted. I guess the next piece of news here
is... He's back.
Oh, he's back. Jerry, are you with us?
Yeah. I heard your last question. I was about replying. Ricardo, you're wrong. I'm not disgusted totally with regulations. I mean, I used to be, you know, all, you know, cyberpunk and stuff, and I totally hated regulations. But as, you know, as time went on, you know, a lot of, you know, scams proliferated, you know, the industry, you know, it was really, really bad. And there was no way to hold people accountable. And there was a lot of, you know, responsibility placed on the people coming to the space. And I think there's no way to protect them. I think some form of regulation, I do not flow with the idea that, to combat, terrorism and stuff like that, we have to, surveillance and this. No. What I mean is we have to find a way to, protect investors who come into this space, hoping, not just, people hoping, to, not just people buying, scam coins, but also, yes, people buying scam coins, protect people from buying scam coins, and also, protect people from, making, foolish decisions, basically. So I think some form of regulation, protects people and, cleans the space, in the space up a bit. That's just the way I see it.
No, that's, I think I kind of do, understand. I kind of have similar views. It's quite like a middle ground way of thinking, like accepting that, like, your idealist brain doesn't want the regulation, but at the same time, it will help others. It's fair. I think so. I mean, moving on to like a more of a lighthearted piece of news. I don't know if you guys know the musician Portugal the Man. You'll know the song Feel It Still, which I'm not gonna sing. I was thinking maybe I should try and sing it to these guys. It's not gonna happen. I'm not good at singing, but I'm sure people listening may know. But essentially, the Grammy Award winning artist has jumped on the cryptocurrency wagon with their own token, PTM coin. So he's actually released the token on Rally, an Ethereum-based social token network. Their aim is essentially for fans to be able to purchase different memorabilia and like footage of gigs and different things like that, and merchandise, so that their aim really with that is that they can get closer to the fans. Basically, that's what they're saying, is they can get a direct connection with the fans. Any thoughts on this? Have you seen any other kind of stuff like this? I know I have, from basketball players and different things like that. But yeah, what's your thoughts on sort of artists and musicians and sports players getting involved in the cryptocurrency space like this?
I think the SEC is probably going to build a case. Wasn't this tried before with Floyd Mayweather and DJ Khaled and others? Didn't they get in trouble for trying something similar?
Yeah, I think that with them, they were promoting like ICOs and different stuff like that. I think what these guys are trying to do is like almost sort of, a lot of the time they're trying to like tokenize their sort of professional endeavors. So it's kind of like with the basketball. I think what the basketball was trying to get at is that he was trying to sort of allow you to buy a portion almost of like him. So like if he performs well and gets a better contract, your like token goes up in value, kind of thing. And if he doesn't perform well and gets a worse contract, then you know he goes down. And I guess with this, it's just them trying to create a way of getting money into their Portugal the Man world, so that I guess once you've spent money on PTM tokens, you're going to have to buy something. So you're going to have to buy their merch. I guess that's their plan. What about you, Jerry? Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing? Or are you worried they're going to get hunted down by the SEC or the like?
Oh, man, I'm just thinking right now, the SEC is probably looking at this one. I'm feeling like, oh, man, these people are free food. This is just free food. I'll never understand it. What's the point of a token? What's the point? Like, really? What do you expect? You're just creating, additional, friction. You say you want to get closer to your fans, then you put a barrier. So before you can get close to me, you'd have to do this. I do not understand the logic. It's it's totally stupid to me. People try to say, you're so narrow-minded, you're so pessimistic. I'm like, no. What is the purpose of the token? Like, what are you going to do with it? It's just a cash grab. And if more of this, if this catches on, then I mean, good luck with them. But, they're not going to find it funny with the SEC, definitely.
It's almost nobody's learned from Ripple.
Ouch. Yeah, I can tell Jerry's not an early Tron fan either with his anti-token thoughts there. No, I guess I think that, I think you've got a good point, to be frankly honest. I think it's good that they're trying to get involved in something that's new, and they're trying to sort of like get involved in the industry. But yeah, what they're doing is essentially like when I went to Tomorrowland Festival in 2019, you had to you got a bracelet. It was quite cool, but you got a bracelet and you paid online to get these sort of Tomorrowland, I don't know what it's called, like coins or whatever. And they preloaded it onto your bracelet. And then whenever you bought a drink or food or anything like that from them at the festival, you just went bing against the reader and it spent your cash. Now, the thing there was that the conversion to euros or pounds or dollars wasn't even. So what it does is it changes how you think when you spend. So you're like, oh, it's only two tokens, but actually you're spending like 10 euros on a beer and you don't realize. And also because you've already turned it into that token, you got to spend it, right? Like you're not just going to withdraw it back out to cash. That's a bit of a pain. So yeah, what you're getting at is that they've created this sort of ecosphere where you've got the money in there now, you've got to spend it and you probably spend more of it. So that's what they're doing. So you kind of hit the nail there, Jerry, I think, really, to be honest with your thoughts. Well, okay, so now we'll move on from the news. And listeners, we have the most exciting segment of the week. We have our cryptocurrency related game. Now this week we'll be doing Guess the Fake Statement, and Ricardo and Jerry will be going against each other to work out which one of these three statements is false. So what I'll do is I'll read out each statement and then I will ask each of you which one you think is false and why, and you can tell me. So the first statement is that there is a coin still in existence named after Russian leader Vladimir Putin named Putin Coin. The second one is that there is another coin still going named after President Jair Bolsonaro of Brazil named Bolso Coin. And the last one is named after everyone's favorite starchy carb. There is a DeFi token called YAM. So, Jerry, I want to hear it. Which one do you think is the false statement there and why?
I think I'll go for number one. I think Putin Coin is fake. Never, ever heard about it. It's stupid. Sounds stupid. but you can't rule out, you know, you can't rule out stupid in crypto. So I'm just, like last week, I just go with my gut. I think number one is false.
Number one. Okay, what about you, Ricardo? Which one are you going for?
I'm going to go for Bolsonaro coin is false.
Okay, so drum roll. The winner this week is Ricardo. You are correct. Bolsonaro one is false. Now, I can explain and provide a bit more information. So on number one, Putin coin is real. It exists. It's not backed by Vladimir himself, or I don't think it has any association with Vladimir. But apparently the coin creator as well, like, wants to use it to like better the world and feed people in Russia and stuff. So he's not like a political nut job or anything. And Bolso coin did exist. It was created by someone in Brazil who was a big fan of Jair Bolsonaro, and people saw it as like a right-wing coin. It now no longer exists. For a few years, it's been down and out. And funnily enough, the guy who created it was given 41 years in prison not that long ago for online crimes like terrorism and all sorts. So crazy one there. And then the third one, YAM, is indeed a real DeFi token, one that I've definitely seen on Twitter. I think when it first came out, everyone was going crazy about YAM. So there you go. So I've put down here, we're actually drawing because last week we did a little fun test of the game and Jerry won, I believe. So we're now 1-1 for Jerry versus Ricardo, and I'm going to have to come up with a prize for whoever wins at the end of our season. So there you go. So next up, we have an open segment. Now this week, Jerry has come up with a topic he wants to discuss. So please go ahead, Jerry, introduce the topic and tell us what you think.
The topic has to do with next of kin. I do think that exchanges should add next of kin to their, you know, as an option for, you know, in case of death, because it's common practice among the, you know, traditional finance where, you know, family member dies and someone dies and family member next of kin gets to, you know, inherit whatever he has left in the bank, you know. But a lot of exchanges, you know it's not practiced in crypto, and if someone who owns crypto dies, his crypto is basically gone. No way to pass it down to, you know, family, you know, mom, sister, daughter, son. So I think it's something actually just to begin to practice, you know, going forward. I've seen cases where someone I know, I have a friend who died recently. I think he has about 2 or 3 BTC, you know, stuck on a top exchange. And now there's no way for his family to retrieve that. And right now it's worth, I think, about $120,000. That's a lot of money. So I think there has to be a way for, you know, exchanges should be able to find a way to pass, to deliver, you know, the crypto or Bitcoin or whatever left in the exchange to next of kin.
Yeah, so I guess the question, the main question which we're already getting at here is, you know, exchanges, brokerages, custodial companies that hold your crypto on your behalf, should they, you know, introduce the ability for next of kin in your death or severe injury to be able to, yeah, get a hold of those funds? Ricardo, what are your thoughts on this one?
First of all, how does that work in the traditional financial world? If someone passes on, typically their descendants would get a lawyer, and their lawyer would deal with a financial exchange or something like that, right? I think a similar model should be followed, because you don't want to dox yourself when it comes to your Bitcoin. If you're a trader or something, maybe you're doing it and you don't want, you know, certain members of your family to know or whatever. So I think it should be followed like that. The best model I've seen is Jeff Vandrew is a lawyer that's on Twitter, and he has like a Bitcoin IRA where and 401k where you can invest your Bitcoin into like a financial vehicle like that, and that will let you you know, create like a legal structure to hold your Bitcoin. And I think it even does so like without taxes or deferred taxes or something like that. To me, that would probably be the best way to set your house in order in the worst case, like if something happened to you, so that your descendants can get a hold of your Bitcoin afterwards. I think giving an exchange like next of kin is too much information for the exchange. They're already making you do AML KYC. They don't need to know who your grandchildren are, or who your nephew, or your whoever you're leaving your Bitcoin to. They don't need to know who those people are.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I guess. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I agree with that. I think there should be. They should, you know, fashion out a different kind of system that, you know, it's basically, you know, captures the idea, but in a different way. You know, you already give out tons of information when, you know, using, you know, most of these centralized exchanges, you know, for Binance, for BitMEX, you know, Kraken. You already give out, doing your KYC, giving out your, you know, passport or whatever identification they ask you, you know, to submit. I think, you know, the exchange could probably give out something like unique set of numbers or code or, you know, whatever that, you know, should be that, it's not that we pass down that could be, you know, kept in a, how would I put it? Like the person who's coming to claim the funds can, you know, present that. But I think the issue with this is, how do you keep the other person without, you know, putting a target at your back? You know, once you let someone know that, you know, this fund's for you, if I pass away, then definitely you're already setting yourself up for, you know, as a target for, you know, is just an incentive to, you know, get rid of you, basically.
Yeah, I think that, like, the important distinctions for me here are that if you have self-custody of your cryptocurrency, I don't think there should really be a place for Trezor, Exodus, all these different wallets that allow you to hold your own cryptocurrency, to somehow introduce a back end or something that will allow them to get hold of your private keys for your next of kin if you've died. I think that's a bit too far. I think what we're getting at here is it's custodial exchanges and brokerages, people who essentially situations where you're trusting others to hold your keys for you, so in effect hold your funds for you, like Binance or, you know, any of the large exchanges, Kraken. The way that I agree with you guys, I don't think there should be, like, if you have a private pension, then it will ask you, like, who would you like to pass this on to if you pass away? It often asks you in the interface. I don't think that's a good idea. But what obviously needs to happen is exchanges should be required, if they're, you know, big enough, or if they, you know, have custody of your funds, like a bank would, to have a team where someone can request, hey, my husband has passed away. He had funds held with you. He's left his estate, etc., to me in his will. I would like to request access to that, as I'm rightfully he owned it. I'm rightfully allowed access to that. So that's what would happen with a bank here, right? Like, you'd ask for that. They give you a form, you fill it in with all the information they need. You give them the copies of the death certificate, the last will, and your ID, things like that. They can look into it, confirm it, it's legitimate, and then they can arrange for you to have access to the funds. That's what needs to happen. And to be honest, I kind of almost assumed that did happen already with the big exchanges. My opinion is that's really what should be set up. I mean, exchanges are turning more and more into financial institutions and banks. Like Kraken, I think, already has a license in the US now to be actually a bank. So we should start to see that. And I think we will start to see that in the next couple of years. And I don't think it's a bad thing. You've already given over custody. You've already given over control of your keys here.
This is kind of a larger issue, but if you could, like Jerry said, if they use like a hash or you could present the private key, like if you have like a multi-sig wallet set up with your descendant or whatever, so that they can still access the funds, like a 2 or 3 multi-sig where your descendants could still access the funds if you passed on. If they could present that to an exchange, that kind of brings up the larger issue of why does the exchange even need to AML KYC you at all? Because if you have the private key and they could do everything off the private keys, there's really no reason to bring your identity into it.
I guess the argument there could be that if I pass away and my mother or brother wants to gain access to my phone, like I may not have told them, I just could have forgotten or whatever, basically. Or similarly,
if you set up a multi-signature wallet, I mean, they'd have to be aware of it because they would hold some private keys as well.
True, but then what if they forget? Or what if someone who's nefarious gets in control of their key or my key or both the keys to the wallet? I mean,
well, there's services like Casa. There's services like Casa and Unchained Capital that are like custodial services like this. Those might be viable options to prevent loss of funds.
Yeah, and true. There's the issue of being tech savvy.
Yeah, that's true as well. I suppose, I mean, from my perspective, right, like I don't keep much on exchanges because I want to hold my own cryptocurrency and my own keys for my cryptocurrency. But if you are trusting Binance or Kraken or whoever, any other exchange with holding your funds, you're kind of almost treating them like a bank really to a degree anyway. You're trusting them to hold your funds. So I think they should really just kind of follow the similar process that banks do, in my opinion. I mean, that's what I would go for. But it's interesting to see the different opinions. I think, Ricardo is definitely more on the side of sort of setting up something that's more automated in someone's death, in a sense that you have this key and you can just access it that way and it's indisputable. And I think you've got a good point. It'd be good to be able to do that too, maybe. And then maybe if that fails, you have the ability for, to send in wills and all that sort of thing, maybe. That'd be kind of cool. We can move on now to the end of the podcast. Which is 60 seconds of positive news. So we're going to leave you all on a good note, okay? And it doesn't have to be cryptocurrency related. We're just going to bombard you with happiness and positivity. An Arkansas doctor forgave $650,000 of medical bills for a cancer patient this week. A startup manages to turn 32 million discarded chopsticks into furniture and decor. A new green building initiative uses timber to build ply scrapers that save tons of CO2. Hobby and home bakers have donated over 130,000 loaves of bread to a local food bank. A man diagnosed with terminal cancer completed an Ironman triathlon to inspire his 7-year-old daughter. Chefs in Mexico have made a record-breaking 236-foot-long sandwich. A Philadelphia man has now made and lowered 500 pizzas from his window without charging a penny. Paris is to turn the famous 1.2-mile-long Avenue Champs-Élysées into an extraordinary garden. A community in Nagaland, India, has collaborated together to pull a very large truck from a gorge using bare hand and ropes only. And lastly, the world's oldest living Olympic champion, Agnes Coletti, who survived the Holocaust, has turned 100 this past week. And apologies to anyone whose French is listening. I cannot say Champs-Élysées correctly. I've always struggled with that. So very big apologies there. But yeah, that was your positive news for the week. I hope you enjoyed listening to us. If you'd like to, you can get in touch with us. We have a Twitter. It's The Moon Pod. That is The Moon Pod. And yeah, I just want to wish everyone a happy week and hope you all take care and keep on buying Bitcoin.
Indeed. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you all. Thank you.